Well, good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here on a Sunday morning. I had to miss a couple of times on a Sunday morning when I said I would be here and then I could not. So it's amazing what one can do when one has to. And here we are. So it's very, very nice to see you all. We've just begun Sesshin. So it's the second day of our Sesshin. So we're getting pretty knowing about what we're doing. The first couple of days are always a little discombobulated. Because it's a different crew each time. Who's going to chop the vegetables? Who's going to sweep the porch? How do we get the bells rung? In my very early years, I was very involved with theater. And it always seems to me the first couple of days that putting on a sesshin is like putting on a play. You end up with it. You start out with this disparate group of people, all of whom have different ideas about the way to do things, and then slowly, slowly begin to focus on the one thing. And by the time the week is over, time the play is on, everybody knows what to do. And then you go home and it's over. And next time you have to start all over again from the beginning. That was Dogen's insight about Zazen, about beginner's mind. But actually beginner's mind happens every time, wherever we are and whatever we do. We think we know, but when we actually get into whatever the project is, we have to learn it all over again. It's always new. So I wanted to bring you Kodo Sawaki Roshi's excellent news, always well to be reminded, that Zazen is good for nothing. Zazen is good for nothing. He said a lot of very shocking things, very disturbing things. He was considered quite an unusual teacher. He was always stirring things up rather than calming things down. That's the way it works. First, of course, we have to calm down in some way. Our minds are very lively. It's our human way, and our human way is fantastic. We think great thoughts and stupid small thoughts and everything in between. Dirty, nasty thoughts, shameful thoughts, glorious thoughts. It's all thoughts. But inside of us is also activity. Our ability to enact life itself. Life streams through us. We don't exactly do things, we act them. Not in a theatrical way, we're not taking somebody else's words and mouthing them. We're taking the words that come from our own life, our own being, our own good, highest spirit. And yesterday we spoke about attention. So if we're not paying attention, we're often bumping into things because of it. Our inattention keeps us always off balance because we don't know where exactly or who exactly we are at the moment. And so achieving some kind of restful mind, even as the mind enjoys itself thinking, which it always does. You can't cut off your thought. The thought will have its own way of going, and if we allow it, instead of imposing something on it, its natural ability to not think reveals itself. And under that is a kind of deep peace from which it all emerges. So if we come to this cushion with any kind of aim, any goal, we're going to make ourselves, our life better. We're going to be a better person. Things will be easier for us. Something fabulous is going to happen. Some great heavenly experience or some powerful insight. Actually, all of those things, any of those things can happen in Zazen. But if we come with the goal of having something happen, good luck. It just doesn't work that way. And that's what Kodo Suwaki means. If you come with any kind of plan for Zazen, it's not going to happen. And it's a fool's game, because Zazen itself, all by itself, is such a gift to us. It doesn't have to be for anything. Of course, we're very ambitious. We want to build up ourselves and improve, look better in other people's eyes. And Zazen, instead of that, brings us down. If we sit long enough, we have to see what's really going on. And although it's very interesting, it's often not a very pretty picture. Not nearly what we would like. So that's a source of suffering, but also liberation. If we're able to find enough peace and quiet in our mind to be able to see what's really going on, we can begin to trust ourselves. Not because we're such idiots, which we are a lot of the time, but that even so, our life has some kind of real purity, a beauty, and a balance. that can be a great gift not only to ourselves but to everyone around us. If we're open to our own peace of mind, then a kind of clarity of thinking sometimes develops. But we can't count on that. Dogen says, sometimes Buddha, sometimes ordinary person. And we don't get to say. Times when you think, oh, idiot. But trust in the whole of it. Is what this zazen, this no good zazen, is. In spite of everything, we come and we sit. And we allow whatever's going on to go on. We recognize our ambition for it and bow to it. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I want to be a whole lot better than I am. Thank you. And little by little, if we sit for a long time, somebody said, Shikan Taza is like a scalpel. It just very sharply cuts off all the baloney. It all falls away. And then something much more simple and less self-conscious and less afraid has the space to breathe and to be. Dogen said to study the self, discussion of studying the self, and for a long time I thought, oh, hot dog, now I'll find out who I am, and this is going to be really great, and this self will be really special. But that isn't what he meant. We have this notion of self. But if we truly study it, we find there's nothing solid, persistent there. Everyone is there. Everything is there. Here. Rachir, as my southern friends used to say. So there's part of the kind of Zen training that we get is the koan about thinking, not thinking. And the second part of that is, how do you do that? Well, it's non-thinking. So that's a little bit like the self thing. That you think, oh, good, thinking, or okay, no, not non-thinking, okay, I won't have any thinking anymore. But that's not what it means either. How to be with what's going on. How to appreciate what's going on and allow it to go. And not just the thinking that we think in zazen, but all through our life. We hold on so tight in order to feel safe and feel uncomfortably ourselves. But the most comfortable way to be oneself is to let go of trying to be a particular way. And be surprised. Trust it. Trust your best self and let it surprise you. I brought a little thing that Uchiyama Roshi said about Zazen. Thoughts coming up in our brain are merely scenery. I like that a lot. Maybe that's a theatrical thing too. It's no good to chase after them. If you chase them, you are enmeshed in thinking. No chasing after. No throwing away. You think, well, I'm not going to think that thought anymore. It's going to come more and more and more. You can't help it. We don't have control. We like to think we do, but we don't. It's like trying to control our breath. We can control it. We can hold our breath. Turn blue. Fall over and start to breathe all by ourselves, without ourselves. So there's many, many aspects, most aspects of our life are like this. So no throwing away and no chasing after. This is the most important point of Zazen. Let them come and let them go. As Suzuki Roshi used to say, just don't invite your thoughts in for tea. So it's not that you can hate them. And that's a big waste of energy. I mean, a lot of us do that. Oh, darn, here's that stupid tape going again, or this movie that I've had for years and years. It's there. It's you. You can bow to it without shame. Just allow it to be what it is. It probably served you at one point or another in a way that it's hard to even trace anymore. So there's no point in lavishing attention on it, but do pay attention to it enough to respect it and bow to it in your mind and let it go. And that creates a lot of space. And you'll be surprised how much more easily you can breathe when there's that kind of space. Let it be what it is and let it go. So often, Norman Fisher used to say, and he probably still does, well, enjoy your sitting. And I know sitting is not always enjoyable. And yet, in spite of it, it keeps doing us as we keep doing it. And so something is going on for us. Something really important. Something is going on for all of us, for the sake of all of us. And so holding trust in yourself and in the process, that's the most enacting, the most powerful enacting that we do. So that's what I brought this morning. Are there questions? Beata?
Mr. Waki also said, I am deluded, I'm so deluded, I'm deluded with gold edges. And I agree about myself. Yeah. And so I wonder, can I trust that? And how do I trust that? Can I even trust that what I'm seeing or taking in is what's there?
Well, you can't as long as there's an I'm. Yes, it's a self-consciousness of identifying. It's hard to say, but you can be very aware of what you think and what you do without making it yours, owning it.
Making it about me.
About you personally, yeah. Yeah. And yet, of course, it is. It is utterly you, and it is utterly your responsibility at the same time. So it takes tremendous amount of attention and very discriminating mind to see clearly how it is. But the place we get caught is thinking it's us. It's about me. And the whole story isn't about me. Alas, we'd so much like it to be. But in another sense, of course, there's nobody else but me. You know, the other thing that Kodo Suwaki said is that nobody, you cannot share even a fart with anybody else. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we get down to the not one, not two part.
And I'll share the effects of the fart, though.
Oh, yes, indeed.